Go Bucks.
Have a little hand for Jaden right there. Did a great job. He's not here today. He was here last night, but did a great job, I thought. Just an amazing job. Hey, we're beginning a brand new sermon series today called On This Rock, a 10-week, 10 rock-solid lessons from the life of Peter. So I'm just kind of help you understand what this sermon series is all about and how we're going to go about studying it. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to go through the life of Peter beginning in the beginning and kind of going through chronologically his life as he comes to know Christ and he goes from being a fisherman to a disciple, eventually an apostle and a writer. We see him writing books of the Bible. And so we're going to study a story from his life every week. After studying that story, we're going to come to what I'm calling a rock solid life lesson from Peter, and then we're going to reflect on verses in 1st and 2nd Peter, books that he wrote, about what he said, or what I said, in that life lesson. So we're going to look at the life of Peter and his writings, and it's just going to be amazing. How many guys are excited about maybe a new sermon series out there studying Peter's life and all these kinds of things? But I just want to begin by giving you what I'm calling a five-part Peter challenge. Here's how that looks. I'm not sure why this is happening. You guys just stay right there. So we're talking about Peter, and we have a challenge that we're going to be talking about. Oh, I know what's wrong. So think about Jesus for a second, his holiness and his miraculousness. Five-part Peter challenge. The first part is to focus on the message today. And the way you can do that, focusing on this message, we've got some notes for you to fill out. And maybe you're not a note person, and I'm not really a note person myself. But I just want to challenge you today to just to focus in on this message and maybe take some notes. We actually have kind of five big points we're going to be talking about. So maybe fill out that little sheet and answer those little questions about the notes. And then secondly, I want you to find one point of interest, one of these 5 points to say, wow, that's really interesting to me, to really hone in on one point, and then I want you to talk about that point with someone safe. Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe one of your kids, but find one point that you're really drawn to, and then just talk about it. Talk about, gosh, that's really interesting, this point that Tom made, or just get into it in some way. After you talk about it, I want you later in the week, teach that point, because you're going to understand something so much better after you teach it. Who knows that's true, by the way? When you teach something, you really begin to know it better. So talk about it, and then teach it. And then last of all, number 5, let it affect how you live your life. Let it affect your life and how you're living. So we're going to jump in to this brand new sermon series and really look at the life of Peter. We're looking at his relationship with Jesus, and actually we see the very first encounter of Jesus and Peter. It's right here in John 1:40. And we see in that little section, you can go there later, check it out, but we see that Andrew and Peter both meet Jesus, and it seems possibly that Andrew, his brother, Peter's brother Andrew, has a different reaction to Jesus than Peter does. It seems that Andrew is immediately taken by Jesus. He immediately says, "This is the Messiah," and he's taken with Jesus, but Peter, it seems, is a little more silent. He doesn't really give his thoughts. Maybe Peter's a little bit more reserved. They meet Jesus. This is actually a map of the Holy Land. And in the day of Jesus, there was really 3 big provinces. First, there was Judea down here. And then above that was Samaria. And then above that was Galilee. Now, actually, Peter met Jesus with his brother Andrew right down here where that star is. That's where John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River. And that's right where he met Jesus. But Peter actually lives way up here right on the Sea of Galilee. He's a fisherman and lives up there. And so we see after a few chapters in the book of Luke, we see that Jesus goes up to visit his friends Andrew and Peter. We see right here in Luke 4:38, Jesus goes to their home, the home of Peter and Andrew. He actually heals Peter's mother-in-law, but still, there's good evidence to believe that Peter, he's not quite sure about Jesus. He's seen Jesus heal people. He's seen Jesus do some amazing things, but it seems like Peter still isn't totally bought in to Jesus. By the way, that's a picture of where Peter's house was right there, up there in Capernaum, and that's the ruins of Peter's house. But we're going to jump into Luke chapter 5. This is our story for this week. And really see how Jesus really makes himself known to Peter. So here's how it begins. One day, why don't you guys say one day? One day, as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So get this picture. Here's the Sea of Galilee. It's right there. It's glistening, beautiful. And then Jesus walks up and there's all these huge crowds of people. And he's teaching them and they're engaged and they're listening except for a couple of other people. Here's what it says. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So Jesus sees these boats sitting there by the Sea of Galilee, and right there's some fishermen. And one of them is Andrew, and the other's Peter, and they're washing their nets, and they're getting those nets all cleaned up. They've been fishing all night long. How many of you guys know that fishing is better at night than the daytime, generally speaking? And that's what they would do. They would go out all night long, and they'd fish, and they're casting their nets, and they're washing them. And I think it's really interesting in this story that all these people are engaged and listening, except not Peter. He's not listening. He's not engaged. He's washing his nets after fishing all night long. And then Jesus, verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. So he picks Peter's boat. Simon is Peter, by the way. Picks his boat, and he asks him to put out from the shore. And he sat down. That's the position that a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, would take for teaching. He would sit down. We stand up, but he would sit down. So he sat down in the boat, and Jesus begins to teach all the people. And we don't know what Peter's thinking. We're not sure what he's thinking. He's been out fishing all night. No doubt fishing for Peter was taking that net and throwing it out and drawing it back in. And probably his muscles are tired and he's been awake all night. He's probably a little grumpy. Who here's a little grumpy out there? You're gonna be honest about that? Okay, I got a couple grumpies out there. Okay, that's all right. Shake it off. We're in church. Shake it off. But Peter's maybe a little grumpy and he's sitting there. And then the sermon ends, something you might be waiting for today. But Jesus' sermon ends and then this happens, verse 4. And when he finished speaking, Jesus finishes the sermon. He said to Simon, said to Peter, hey, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Jesus says, hey, let's go fishing. Let's go out there and let's catch some fish. And you can see, if you look at Peter's response, and I'm going to decode it for you, you can see that Peter is not especially happy about this idea. He doesn't really want to go fishing with Jesus. And here's what he says. Simon answered, Peter says, Master. Now, right away when you read that, you might think, oh, he's calling Jesus his master. But actually, a better translation of that word is the word sir. He basically says, sir. Sir, say to Jesus, sir, listen up, Jesus, we have worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Stop right there. Who here has been on a fishing trip and you didn't catch anything? Raise your hand. I'll tell you a quick story. This is a really horrible thing. My brother David, my youngest brother, turned 21 and he wanted to go fishing. And so we went out on Buckeye Lake, and I invited my dad to go. I really enjoy fishing. My brother David likes to go fishing. I invited my dad. Dad, come fish with us. It'll be a great moment. It'll be a great family time. Men out there fishing. And my dad looked at me, and he said, Tom, if I go fishing, I won't catch anything. I said, Dad, how can you say that? I don't think I've ever gone fishing and not caught anything. And my dad looked at me, and he said this, Tom, I have never caught a fish in my entire life, ever. I find fishing boring. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I've never caught a fish. I said, Dad, listen, if you go fishing with Dave and I, you are going to catch a fish. We go out, went to a little bait shop out there by Buckeye Lake, and we went out, we got on my dad's old boat that he had, and we went out there, and we start fishing, and all day long, we never caught a fish. Never at all. It was really frustrating. By the way, if you don't catch fish, it's called waiting. I think that's what it's called. Fishing's when you catch something. Otherwise, it's like waiting with bait, I guess. So anyway, that's what Peter's saying. We've been out all night. He's a professional fisherman. He's been fishing. He's been out all night long. He says, we haven't caught anything. Jesus, it's useless. Master, sir, carpenter, whatever he's saying. We worked all night. We haven't caught anything. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And it says we, and let me tell you who the we is. Here's the we. Who's the we that was fishing? Simon, his brother Andrew, and they have two partners. They become very important later in the story, James and John. The four of them are in fishing business together. They're all partners who are fishing all night. But here's the end of what he says. He says, we've been working hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. A little guilt trip there maybe. Okay, because you say so, I'll do it. I'll go out there. I'll let down the nets. Here's what happens. And when they had done so they go out in the water, and they go farther out. Probably there's more than one person in the boat, but they take the net. He cast the net out in the water. And when they had done so, they're caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Imagine this scene. We've been fishing all night. No way. They go out in the water. They throw the nets in, and all these fish are everywhere. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. So full, they were about to sink. This is an amazing miracle. Peter's been telling Jesus, listen, we got to do it my way, not your way. And he realizes, I'm talking to the Son of God. And look what he says. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. So by now, the boats are back in. He's on the land. He falls in his knees. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me. Now look at this word right here. Why don't you say it with me? Lord, just say Lord. Now he's come all the way from sir, master, sir, all the way now to Lord. You are the Lord. I see it. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. Now look what happens next. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, he's about to change Peter's identity. He's a fisherman, and now he says, from now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and look at this. They left everything, and they followed him. They left absolutely everything. Mark 1:17, same story, but here's what Mark says. Jesus says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Here's the important thing. Jesus is calling Peter. He's inviting him. He's inviting him into a relationship. Come follow me. Come walk with me on these dusty roads of Palestine, up and down. You're going to know me. Come follow me. Be in a relationship with me. And secondly, he says this. He calls him into a mission. You will fish for people. You're going to have a mission with your life of bigger importance than just fishing. And last of all, Peter responds. He left everything. Immediately left everything. And as the story goes, he left the boats, the nets, the fish, the huge catch of fish, everything. He left it all to follow Jesus. How many of you guys have seen the movie Son of God? Anybody seen that movie, Son of God? It's out there in the theaters some time ago. Well, in the movie Son of God, they actually have this scene. I'm going to show you the video. It's about 3 minutes long. And just kind of watch the Hollywood version of this story. I'm going to lower the lights up there. And here we go. Here's the scene. I'll narrate for you. So here's Peter. He's putting out the nets. Now this part's not in the Bible, but I think it's kind of cool. Jesus gets up in the movie, and he's like a fish whisperer. Watch. Here he goes. Whoa, come on, fish. Oh yeah, that's it right there. He's like calling the fish right there. Now the music's changing. What's happening? Something's happening. There's Peter. He's looking. Pulling the net in. Here it comes. Down to our rock solid life lesson number one. Here we go. Get ready to take some notes. Here's the idea. First lesson in this series, here it is. Just as Jesus called Peter, he said, come follow me. He calls Peter into a relationship and a mission. God also is calling us in that exact same way. Just as Jesus calls Peter, God is calling us. He's speaking to us. The Greek word, by the way, for called is kaleo. Why don't you go ahead and say that? Kaleo, it means to call. It's a very simple idea. It means to summon by name. If I look out and I see my friend Jeff Houghton and I say, hey, Jeff, I'm calling to him. That's that idea of summoning by name. When I was a young elementary student, I recall vividly, I was on the playground playing outside in elementary school, and there was all my friends, all my little buddies were with me, and we were on one end, and there was this little group of girls, probably 7 or 8 girls, super cute, pigtails, you get the picture, and they're all over there. And I called my friends together, and I said, listen, let's run through the girls. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, let's just run right through their circle. And they're like, okay, let's do it. And so we all you know, started running like wild Indians. We're like screaming like, ah! And the girls are like, you know, talking about like, well, Johnny's so cute. You know, whatever the girls are talking about. And we run through, hands up like this, ah! We ran through all the girls and they kind of scattered. And I saw one of them with the pigtails go and tell the teacher. The teacher got up and she's like, you boys come here. That's summoning, right? We were in big trouble in that case, big trouble. Cleaning erasers, all kinds of stuff. But they called you. They summoned us by name. That's the idea of calling. It's to call out. But also a second meaning of this word kaleo is to invite. Jesus is inviting Peter. He's inviting him. Come follow me. Come know me. Come be a fisher of men. He's inviting him. What is God calling us to? Here's my rock solid life lesson. As Jesus called Peter, God is calling us. Now here's what's interesting. Peter, the man who was called by Jesus, tells us in his writings, 1 and 2 Peter, he tells us what we're called to. Peter actually uses the word called 5 times in the reference to what God is calling us to. 5 times he uses it. 5 things we can have absolute assurance that God is calling us into. Just like Jesus said, come follow me. God is calling to us as well. God's inviting us into something very special. God's calling us and God's inviting us. 5 things we can be absolutely assured of that God is calling us to in our lifetime. Here's number one. Number one, the first of these 5 things is God is calling us out of darkness into his wonderful light. How many of you guys recall we sing that song, Marvelous Light? It's from this verse exactly. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises. We did it already today. We declare the praise of him who called you. Say called. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God is continuing throughout your lifetime, calling you again and again and again, out of darkness into light. What does it mean? What does it mean to be called out of darkness into light? Idea number one, darkness. Darkness sometimes means ignorance. It just means confusion about how to live. I don't know how to live my life. I don't know what to do. Coming in the light is having clarity about how to live. Now, every now and then, I'll just tell you this, every now and then, I am the first one here on a Sunday morning. Every now and then, doesn't happen a lot, but every now and then I come on Sunday morning, I'm the very first one here. And when I get here first before anybody else, the entire building is totally dark. And what I normally do, I get here, it's all dark in the building Sunday morning. I go in my office, which is right there, and then I'm going to come to the sound booth and turn on my computer, get going. And so about a year and a half ago, I came in, I was the first one here, and I walk in this room, and it's absolute pitch dark. And I thought to myself, no problem at all. I know this room. I've been in this room lots of times. No problem. So I walk normal pace from that door to the sound booth. I'm just walking normal pace, and I had no idea. There was one random chair in the back. I had no idea where it was. Totally dark. I didn't know where I was going, but I couldn't see anything. And I walked right into that chair. I busted up my shin, started bleeding inside my pants. If you recall that day, I was preaching like, and Jesus, you know, I hurt my leg. I knew where I wanted to go, but I was totally in the dark. And God calls us out of darkness into light to have clarity. Now, this is something that we all want. We all need it. People come talk to me all the time. Tom, how do I do this? How does God want me to live my life? How do I have my marriage? How do I do this? We want clarity about how to live, and that's what he's saying. He's calling us out of confusion about how to live life into clarity. And second of all, darkness is about sin. It's about doing what's wrong. Living in the darkness says, I'm living life my way, not God's way. I'm doing what is wrong, and sometimes I'm doing what is wrong, and I know it's wrong. How many here you've done that? You knew something was wrong, and you did it anyway. Just raise your hand, right? We've done that. It's living in darkness. Living in darkness means I do what I want, even though I know it's wrong. But living in the light is doing what is right. It's purity with your life. And here's the idea. God is calling us to clarity and purity in our life. Now, maybe you think, oh, I don't know about purity. I don't know. That doesn't sound like very much fun to live with purity. Maybe you're like Oscar Wilde. Maybe you'd say this. All the things that I really like to do are either immoral, illegal, or fattening. Maybe that's how you kind of see it. But let me just tell you that God's the one who's calling you. God's calling you to have clarity about how to live. More and more clarity as you follow him, you become more and more clear. How do I live this life? God's calling you to purity so that your conscience is rejoicing. As you're following God, you know you're forgiven by Christ, and purity is right there in your life. A lot of times it's interesting. We do something wrong. We know it's wrong, and we just kind of minimize it, don't we? We just minimize it. For example, in my life, my daughter Elizabeth, she's 16, and she's begun driving. First we did driving lessons, her and I, and then she passed her test by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. She passed her driving test. And now I've come to a point now where when we're in the car together, she just says, Dad, you just drive. You drive, Dad. And so I'm back to driving all the time now pretty much. And my daughter, she's a driver. She's got a license, but she knows sometimes I'm driving and I'm not doing it right. But as my child, she can't say like, Dad, you're breaking the law. So she'll like suggest things to me. Like the other day I'm driving down the road and she's like, wow, this is a fast 35. That's what she's like. She's the other day, she's like, wow, you can change lanes and not use your blinker? You know, she's just suggesting. She's not saying like, Dad, what are you doing? She's just suggesting it. She's just giving me a little suggestion. And here's what I should do, right? I'm going 45 and 35. And what's what I should do? I should stop the car. I should take it seriously. I should tell my daughter, you know what? I'm a bad example. You're right. But I don't do that at all. I just minimize it. I'm like, oh, honey, it's no big deal. Oh, that's not, don't you know, I'm safe on this road. Now, you don't do it, right? You don't do it. But you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's horrible, right? But I minimize it. So often, we just minimize those things that we do wrong. But God is the one who's calling us. God is calling us out of darkness and into his light to have clarity and purity. And listen, you will never regret it. You're going to love living with clarity. You're going to love living with purity before God. Who here knows that living with clarity and purity is a wonderful thing? Just raise your hand. It's wonderful. Number one, God's calling us out of darkness into light. Here's number two. Number two, just as Jesus called Peter, God also calls us. And Peter tells us that God calls us to follow the example of Jesus. Here's what he says right here. 1 Peter 2:19 and then 21. You can read 20 on your own if you want. Here's 19. For it's commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Verse 21. For this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. That's our example to follow. We follow the example of Christ, the mission of our church. I told you last week, love like Jesus, live like Jesus, lead like Jesus. That's what we're called to do, to follow that example, the example of Christ, and to look to him. That's number two. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. There's five of these. I'm going to go right now to number three. Here we go. Number three. Just as Jesus called Peter, God also calls us. And I want you to really focus on this one. This is a big one for all of our lives. And I want you to see God is calling you into this. He's calling us into life-changing relationships. Now, Peter addresses the idea of relationships, and look what he says. 1 Peter 3:1-7, it's about marriage and about how your marriage should work. And now he's talking to everyone in the church. Here's what he says to every Christian. He says, finally, just say finally, go ahead. Finally, all of you, not just married couples, finally, all of you, here's how your relationship should look. Here's what he says. Be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Now, this gets a little hard. Do not pay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. Peter tells us that God is calling us into these life-changing relationships. How do they work? How do life-changing relationships work? Well, first of all, they're like-minded. That means we keep communicating until we see things the same way, with the same idea. We're like-minded. We think of things in the same way because we communicate so well about what's happening. Number two, we're sympathetic. Don't just see it your way. Mentally put yourself in someone else's place. Be sympathetic to their life and what they're doing and what's happening. That's what Peter says. Peter says, love one another. And then he goes, it's harder. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Ever had this happen? Ever had? Just raise your hand if you had this happen. Ever had somebody insult you? Ever had that happen? Someone just insults you. They make fun of you. They talk bad about you. They insult you in some way. There's some insult. I remember being younger, and I'd be insulted. And the thing about being insulted that was so infuriating is that I would think of the perfect comeback 24 hours later. Ever had that happen? Right? Somebody insults you in some way, and they're like, you know, they really get you, you know, my sister or, you know, somebody out there, and they insult you. And a day later, I'm like, oh, I got a perfect comeback. I tried it once. Didn't work very well. Go back and be like, remember when you said this? Well, I would have said this. No impact, right? No impact. A day later. But Peter says, no, no, no. You don't repay insult with insult. Here's what you do. This is such a great teaching of Jesus. He says this, repay evil with blessing. When someone insults you and they're evil to you, you bless them right back. Why? Because of this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. You see, in Christ, relationships are not about us. They're about other people. Now, here's what it says. It says you inherit a blessing. I'm going to tell you this. When you live for someone else, when you live to bless others, you inherit a blessing. But when you live for only yourself, you're restricting blessing in your life. Let me give you an example about this. Now, we had football season. Football season is almost over now. We're going towards the Super Bowl. So I'm going to give you a basketball analogy, and here's the analogy I want to give you. How do you guys know who this is? Michael Jordan. Ever heard of Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan might have been the absolutely best basketball player of all time. As a Cavs fan, I'm hard to admit that, but he might have been the best. And Michael Jordan was out there. He won 6 NBA championships. He retired, and then he retired again. And after his second retirement, there was a big moment there. You see, Michael Jordan had a teammate, and his teammate's name was Scottie Pippen. How many of you guys recall Scottie Pippen? And Scottie Pippen was like Robin, and Michael Jordan was like Batman, and Scottie Pippen was like waiting for his moment. He's waiting. When am I going to be the star? When is it going to be my time? And then Michael Jordan retires for the second time, and now it's Scottie Pippen's moment. He's going to step up. There's a story that says Scottie Pippen actually took Michael Jordan's locker. It was the only double locker, and he took the locker. On the first day of training camp that season, 1993-94 season, Scottie Pippen was going to take over as the leader, and he said in the locker room out loud, here's what he said, Michael, I love you, but I'm glad to see you go. I'm glad you're gone. It's my time. It's my time to be the leader. And Scottie Pippen stepped up, and he was really kind of about himself, but that season went pretty well for the Bulls. They won 55 games, and they went in the playoffs, and it came down to one moment. One moment you can see the blessed relationships of Christ versus relationships in the world. Here's what happened. Here's the exact moment it happened. The Eastern Conference Championship, 1994, game three, the Bulls are trailing 2-0. The game is tied with 1.8 seconds left. And the legendary coach, Phil Jackson, he calls Scottie over. He's telling the whole team, he draws up a play, and the announcers are watching it, and they couldn't believe it. They saw there's 1.8 seconds left. They're going to inbound the ball. Someone's going to take a shot. They're going to win the game or lose the game or tie the game or whatever. And Phil Jackson calls a play. And then Scottie Pippen does this. Amazingly, he goes and sits on the bench. He goes and sits on the bench. He takes a towel, and he puts the towel over his head. And this is what happened. What happened was the coach called a play that wasn't for Scottie Pippen. He called a play for Tony Kukoc. And Pippen said, I won't even go on the floor. They wanted to be a diversion. They wanted Scottie Pippen to be a diversion to draw the defender to give Tony Kukoc the shot, but he wouldn't do it. He said, no way. I'm not Eve. He's a professional basketball player, makes millions of dollars, and he refused to go on the court because he wasn't going to get the ball. Years later, he talked about it, and here's what he said. He said this. When Michael left, I looked at it as a challenge right away. I felt like this is my team and my time, and that should be my shot. Here's what he said. If I don't get the ball in the last second, I'm not even going on the court. The Bulls didn't make the finals that year. They didn't win the championship. It was over for the Bulls because of selfishness and the inability to serve other people and say, it's not about me. That's what he said. It's about me. And you are called to relationships that give life, where you exalt someone else. You exalt Christ. You don't exalt yourself, right? You're called to come out of darkness into the light. You're called to follow the example of Jesus. You're called to life-changing, life-giving relationships. And then number four, here it is. You're called by God to live a godly life of purpose through God's divine power. That's what Peter says. Look, it's right here. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and by his goodness. We're called to live a life of purpose. We're called by God to have lives that matter, that mean something. You know, I told you guys, I made this statement back when we were studying the life of Joseph back last fall, and here's what I said in week one of that Joseph series. I said this, God has a unique plan for your life that will fulfill you and that will change the world, and that's true. God has a plan for your life. God wants to use you. God's calling you to a godly life of purpose through God's power, and he wants you to see it. But sometimes I think our lives, we feel like Peter. We feel like Peter when he's out there fishing all night long, and he had to feel so meaningless. He's throwing that net in the water, and he's just pulling it back in. His back is straining, no fish. Maybe you feel that way. You're throwing the net in every day. You're going to work. You're keep on going. You keep doing your thing, and it just feels like there's no purpose. There's no meaning. The nets just seem so empty. You know, back on Christmas Eve, I had a just kind of a special day on Christmas Eve. I was working that day, and so I came in with the services that night, Christmas Eve services, and I came in Christmas Eve morning, and the only ones in the building were some of the office staff, and we had a nice little conversation. I was kind of working on this Peter series, and they were doing Christmas Eve stuff. And then at the right time, they went home, and I was like the only person left in the building. I think Jerry and I were the only ones left in the building. And so I just left my office, and I began walking around. I had finished Christmas Eve stuff, and I walked around this entire building. I went back in the Sunshine Preschool, went to every GCA classroom. I walked all the hallways, and I just prayed. I laid my hand on almost every single door in this building, praying for pastors and teachers and praying for everyone. I was just in prayer. And I had this deep sense that there's such purpose that God desires for us, such purpose to have with our lives. But sometimes we just totally miss out living the day-to-day details. We miss the bigger purpose of what God's calling us to and what God desires from us. He desires that you would have a life that matters, that means something, that you would know he's calling me to a life of purpose. I recall, how many of you guys are familiar with our good friend Bobby Tucker? Just raise your hand, you know, Bobby. Bobby's sitting in the back there. A couple years ago, Bobby came and saw me, made an appointment, came to see me, and Bobby came to my office and he sat down and he said, Tom, now God's called me, and I was listening carefully, he said, God's called me to go to Africa and to put a well for a village that's never had fresh water. I listened to Bobby's plan. He was telling me all about it. And I said, so, Bobby, how are you going to pay for that? How are you going to pay to go to Africa and pay for a well to go in the ground? He looked back at me, and Bobby said, I have no idea how I'm going to pay for that. No idea. And I said, okay, that's awesome. Just step out in faith, Bobby. You got this. No problem. And so Bobby went. But about a year and a half ago in September, Bobby went to Africa. And here's a picture of him right here. He's meeting with some town elders or a mayor or something right there, and they found a spot, and there's Bobby right there in Africa, all by himself, called by God. He raised money, raised funds. He went over, and here's a company Bobby contracted, and they're putting a well for a village. They've never had fresh water, never, ever, ever. Here's a picture of the first person that was pumping that well, and fresh water suddenly came out of the ground. I asked Bobby, what was that moment like? He smiled at me and he's like, man, it's almost indescribable, that moment when God gives you a dream, God gives you a purpose, you step out, you do it. I'm going to invite Bobby up right now. Bobby's going to go back to Africa, leaving this week on Thursday the 22nd. Caitlin's going to go with him and Sarah Foltz is going to go with him and they're going to go on this mission trip. And this time they're not going to put in one well, they're going to put in two wells. This time they're going to go to some schools and share the gospel, and Bobby's going to preach in some churches and lead some worship, and it's going to be awesome. And Bobby sees this opportunity for great and amazing purpose. So we're just going to pray as a church and just commission Caitlin and Bobby and Sarah. Although I don't see Sarah, but that's totally fine. Wherever she is, we're commissioning her to. So just pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you so much for Caitlin, for Sarah Foltz, for Bobby. That, Father, as they go on Thursday in that plane, God, they're going to step out into an adventure that you know, God, what's going to happen, but they don't know. They're going to encounter obstacles they never imagined. But God, you've got a plan for all those obstacles. God, they're going to go to plant two wells, and we just pray your blessing on this mission trip. That the three of them go, they meet with Bobby's contact, Tanasha there. We pray for all those connections, all the village elders, all those pastors they're going to see, the schools they're going to visit. God, we pray your hand of blessing on this mission trip. That they would see, God, the great purpose that you have for them in this trip. And that you give great blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys give them a big hand if you would. Just to let you know, too, there's some water bottles back there that are just for donation, but that's going to go to support the trip that they're on. It's going to be awesome. I'll see you guys. You're amazing. God's calling us to a life of purpose in big ways and small ways. And last of all, I'm just going to go to my last point, number five right here. Just as Jesus called Peter, God also calls us. And here's the last thing. God calls us, number five, he calls us into eternal glory, 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You see, here's the thing. Not only is God calling you to know Christ, not only is God calling you out of darkness into light, not only is he calling you to live a life of purpose, to have life-changing relationships. When you die and your life's over, God's calling you into eternal glory in heaven forever. This past Sunday night, I had a funeral in the fireside room, and I knew the funeral was happening. Obviously, I was officiating that funeral, and a young man had died, only 46 years old. He died in a house fire, and the tragic thing was he died, and 2 hours later, his father died as well. This family had incredible grief. I walked in the fireside room to officiate that funeral. Pastor Brad was in there playing some music. And I walked in that room, and it seemed like I was in the hallway and things felt normal. And I walked in the fireside room, and I just feel the grieving of that family. Maybe you've had that experience. It just felt like the grief of that family was so intense to lose a 46-year-old son and lose a father on the same day. And the grief was intense. But, you know, in that room, although the grieving was intense, there was hope. Because we knew that that man who had died had known Jesus Christ. Because he'd known Christ, God had called him into eternal glory. And you can stand on that promise. That God's calling you to know Christ. And because you know Christ, when you die, you go to heaven. You have eternal glory. Here's how it works. You come to know Christ just like Peter saw who Christ was. And then Peter left everything. We repent of all of our sins to follow Christ, and we know him. And then we're assured of a relationship with him, and we're assured that when we die, we go on to heaven with him forever. Amen. I want you to look at all these five things. God is calling you. He's calling you day after day. He's calling you again and again. Just like Jesus called Peter, God's calling you. Number one, out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's calling you every day, calling you, follow the example of Christ. He's calling you into life-changing relationships that are not about you, but about other people and about him. He's calling you to live a godly life of purpose through his divine power, and he's calling you into eternal glory. God is calling you. It means God is speaking, and his voice can be heard as he calls you. Why don't you just bow your heads right now out there? Just bow your heads for a minute. I'm just going to ask you, I asked you that five-part Peter challenge to pick one point that you really connected with. So I'm going to read the 5 points. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand at the point that you really connected with in this message. Number one, did you connect with the idea that God's calling you out of darkness into light? Just raise your hand. That was your moment. That was your connection point. How about number two, that you were called to follow the example of Jesus? Is that your point? Just raise your hand. Is that your point? Follow the example of Jesus. How about number three, God's calling you into life-changing relationships? Just raise your hand. That was the one. That was the one that God was really speaking to you about. Number four, that God's calling you to live a godly life of purpose through his divine power. Is that you? Just raise your hand. Number four, that's me, to live a life of purpose. How about number five, God's calling you into eternal glory? Just raise your hand. That was me. Number five. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray over these five things. We thank you, God, that you called Peter to follow Jesus into a life of an example for us, that we can see Peter's mistakes, and we can also see Peter's blessings and what he did well, and we can learn from that example as he learned from Jesus. But Father, we thank you that he wrote these books of 1 Peter and 2 Peter to instruct us and teach us from your holy word. And so, God, as we're in this study, I pray you would shape and just move, God, amongst us. But God, today I pray each person here could take one point, just one point from this message and say, you know what? I'm going to think about this more deeply. I'm going to talk to somebody about it. I'm going to teach it to somebody. I'm going to let it affect my life. Because your word, God, is life-changing for us. As we sing this last song, God, let your Holy Spirit just work in this room in a powerful, powerful way. In your name I pray. Amen. Why don't you all stand if you would? I'm just going to say one last thing. That fifth point was that we would recall it to eternal glory. Maybe you're confused about that today. You're not sure if you're going to heaven when you die, and you want to learn more about that. I'm just going to come stand over here by this door. And if you want to talk about that with me, pray about that with me, come back right now. I want to talk about that point about accepting Christ in your life. Otherwise, just sing and worship God in this time.
Just yeah.
way out today, I want to point out a few things to you. Number one, we began this week 8 new small groups, connection groups in our church. And maybe you want to join one of those groups, and if you would like to, there's some clipboards back there on a table, and there's some group leaders back there too. And go back, talk to the group leader for a minute or two, and maybe just sign up for a group, which will be easy and fun. You'll be discussing these sermons from the life of Peter just as a beginning discussion. You can also see those groups in that bulletin insert you have right there as well. Second of all, I want to let you know there's a video the groups will be watching with some questions, and if you want to watch that video, you can go follow the instructions at the bottom of your notes, and you can go watch that video with some small group questions that are on there too. If you're first time today to come to Spring Hills, go back and see Pastor Coley back there. He'll give you a bag and a special gift and some awesome stuff. And there's a healing prayer team back there as well. Give him a little hand, a little wave back there, healing prayer team. Go back and see them for some healing prayer if you like, and that'd be awesome. Let's just pray and we'll close out our time. Father, we thank you for the example we see in the life of Peter. We thank you, God, that we know you're calling us, that your voice, God, is not silent, that you're speaking, God, and you're speaking directly to us. You're calling us to come out of darkness into light. You're calling us to follow the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. You're calling us, God, into relationships that are not centered on us, but centered on others and on Jesus Christ. You're calling us, God, to a life of purpose through your divine power. And last of all, you're calling us into eternal glory, that when we die, we can know we'll be with you forever. And so, Father, let us take this knowledge that you love us, and that you're calling us. And let us know, God, that in Christ we are more than conquerors. Amen. As we go out today in your name. Father, I pray you just impress upon those here to join a group, to have some new relationships, and let those relationships and connections just give meaning to their life as they seek to follow you. We praise you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You guys have a great day. I'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.